Welcome back, everybody, to HoopsHD.com, Under the Radar, old school style.
This is, you know, back to our Jurassic period, I think.
I'll tell you what, David, I took a look back, way back in the archives of the website earlier, and we did the very first Under the Radar podcast November 8, 2013. So we are finishing up our seventh season tonight.
Is that right? Wow.
Under the Radar.
Huh.
Seven seasons, and our very first podcast, I watched about 5 minutes of God, we were awful. Not go back and watch it. Yeah. It was bad.
I don't know if we're a whole lot better now.
we're bad now, but we were really bad back then.
Yeah.
But this is how it started off. It was me and David, and we didn't even have graphics or anything. We just sat here, and we talked about what games were going to be coming up that week. And,
yeah. I know we didn't have the graphics yet. I think we touch on all the conferences?
We actually went day by day and went through what games were coming up. It was the very first day of the season. Okay. But here we are on February 26, 2020, and this is our season finale of the seventh season of Under the Radar.
Wow. I know. We're not going away. We know that there's a lot. It's just that, like, we are? Okay, I thought we were going to have video notebooks.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, we are definitely not going to. Yeah, we got more content, not less content.
Coming up, so it'll be about a nightly affair, but a real eventful night. Not quite as eventful as I thought it was in the Patriot League right before we went on. If you saw the write-up today, I mistook Bucknell for the second-place team.
yeah, Bucknell, who's in about eighth place. Yeah. David, you were way off in the write-up, but that's about typical for our website. So, there was a very exciting night tonight, both on and under the radar. As a Rutgers fan, it was a crappy night, but that's another story. We'll get to it probably tomorrow night. But let's get right into a feature conference for the night. And I'm going to start with a conference that, believe it or not, I was looking back through the notes on the season. We have not yet featured this league. We normally feature it at some point every season. And it has a huge, huge game coming up this here on Friday night. I'm going to talk. Let's talk a little bit Horizon League here, David.
Oh, we haven't issued this one. Wow.
This has not been a feature conference. It normally is. It's one that we do really enjoy here on Hoops HD. And I'm bringing it mostly up for this game Friday night. Wright State at Northern Kentucky is the battle for the regular season championship. Northern Kentucky will win the tiebreaker should they win that game. So this is the conference on Friday night as far as
Wednesday goes. Yeah, it is. And, my God, could you imagine if this league was still, formatted the way that it used to? It would essentially have – it would be a conference tournament game because the winner would get – home court advantage. Both these venues really nice. Both fan bases probably tops in the conference. Oakland, nothing against anybody else, but I mean, these two fan bases bring it. It's a big rivalry. The storyline's good enough, but I think you're with me on this, Chad. We like this league, but we missed the old conference tournament format with the double bye and the home court advantage at campus sites.
Yeah, and if you look up on the website, you can go to the conference tournaments tab. You can take a look at this conference tournament bracket. It has been updated. This format's a little bit strange this year. It's a format that I've never seen any other conference use in the exact details of it, but there are nine teams in the conference tournament, as Detroit has now officially lost their appeal. We had heard rumors that they had won it. They came from their head coach, who was wrong. but now they are definitely out. They will not be participating in the Horizon League tournament. So there will be the teams that are seated 4th through 10th, or I guess fourth through ninth in the conference tournament, will play in three opening round games at the campus sites of the 4th, 5th, and 6th place teams, which right now will be 2 out of 3 of Youngstown, Greens Bay, and UIC, and 1 out of 2 of Milwaukee or Oakland, depending on how Thursday and Saturday play out.
Yeah.
And then those two winners will be reseeded to go on to basically a second round where the highest seeded team, whoever gets the 3 seed gets a bye through that round, will host one game. The other two teams will play each other. Have I totally confused everybody?
It's a little easier to understand than what you may think. So this was the format that they used to have, I guess 15 years ago, and it really is the same format as having a double bye. Like in its 10 team format, they had two teams that bought into the semis, and then they essentially had two tournaments of four for the other two semifinal spots that was reseeded in the quarterfinals. They're doing that now only with 9 teams. Does yeah, that
make- I'll tell you what. Let's make things even easier here. We are very unprepared for this show. Yeah. But if things can work out right, I'm actually going to try to get that conference tournament bracket up here. But at the end of the day, the winners of all those strange games at the first two rounds go and join the top two seeds will be NKU and Wright State in Indianapolis for
yeah.
finals at a championship game. IUPUI, who's the host of that, will in 99.9% chance not be participating because they've not been very good this year.
Right. So NKU and Wright State.
And here's that. That bracket, by the way.
So yeah, here's the bracket. Both of it's that is a little bit weird.
Yeah, so you got these three first round games. You get 2 second round games where the three seed will get a bye into these games.
Yeah.
You'll reseed here. You'll reseed again here. So whoever the one seed is will get the.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, this is great. Everyone should do this. I think we should have regions of 9 instead of 16. Anyway, but about these teams, Chad, and about this game, like whoever, if it is NKU or Wright State, how dangerous of a team or of an opponent are they potentially in a round of 64?
Yeah,
I'm going to say not very.
Really?
I just don't think that they've played. I mean, they've won a lot of games. This is not a strong league this year, not like what we're used to seeing, and they've had to sweat out a lot of them. Now, having said that,
David, here's what I'm going to differ for you. Did you think San Diego State's a really good team?
I do.
You think they're going to get out of the round of 64?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, David, there are only two teams in the nation that are currently undefeated against quadrant 1 and 2 on the team sheets. Those two teams are San Diego State and Wright State, right there on the left. They have not lost a quad 1 or quad 2
goodness.
All season.
Goodness. Wow. I stand corrected.
They are 1-0. That is perfect. Yeah. Absolutely perfect.
Wow.
So whoever beats them in the round of 64, if they make it, will be doing something that nobody has done all season. Oh,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's both of those teams undefeated. That's in Northern Kentucky, undefeated against quad 1 and 2, aren't they?
No, Northern Kentucky has a bunch of losses.
Oh, they do.
They lost to Arkansas, Greensboro, Missouri, right?
Yeah, I was looking at they're undefeated in the games that they won.
Yes, they're undefeated in the games that they won. But over here, as you can see, quad 1 and 2, Wright State, Toledo just barely got up to become a quad 2 team now, so they have that 1-0 record. So, hey. I just throwing it out there. They haven't lost a game yet to a quad 1 or 2 team.
All right. Oh my God. What if they play Dayton and beat them? That would be ridiculous.
The other games obviously coming up this week are there on the screen. So I actually didn't show the last week's results. We're going backwards here because we're on this little two-man show here. The upset of the week did happen last week when Wright State actually lost to Youngstown. That sets up the chance for Northern Kentucky to steal the regular season title now.
And they got their doors blown off in that game. Real kind of surprising result. Although Youngstown better this year than they've maybe ever been ever.
Yeah, and Youngstown with a couple games, if they can win their two games, they have a real good this week. They have a real good shot at making the Metro Atlantic tournament.
Making the Metro Atlantic tournament. More crazy bracketing.
The big games turn out at Green Bay, also win at Milwaukee. Real good shot at making that three seed and getting that bye through the first rounds. Mm-hmm. But let's go through the rest of these conferences because we're off to a classic Hoops HD 2013 start here already. Yeah. America East Conference, where I still haven't figured out what happened on Saturday, David, when Vermont hosted UMBC.
I haven't either. I mean, it was so shocking, and they had been so dominant in this league and appeared to be running away with it. Now, they still are. They've already got it. They've got a three-game lead with two games to go, so they are playing at home all throughout. But still not real confidence building there, even though they've beaten everybody else. I guess you just kind of got to chalk it up to an anomaly and just not their night.
The other big upset, though, Hartford went to Stony Brook and won there. So, Stony Brook now – may not get that number 2 seed even. Which means that they may have to play their semifinal on the road.
Right, and that's a big – I mean, if there's anything to keep pay attention to here, it's Stony Brook. And how about Hartford? Howie the Hog. I mean, having a real exceptional year this year.
They win that home game against Maine, and if Stony Brook slips up here, a game in Albany or a game at UMBC, then Hartford could have a shot at stealing that 2 seed. Mm-hmm. Also, keep a look at there is a battle here between Binghamton and Maine for which team gets eliminated and doesn't go to the conference tournament. Binghamton actually could have been eliminated tonight had they lost and Maine won. The exact opposite happens, and now Binghamton has the leg up for that last spot in Maine.
Yeah.
Big trouble with having to be the UMBC or Hartford to even have a shot at this point, I think.
Yeah, whenever Maine has to beat anyone, it's a problem.
Over in the Atlantic Sun Conference, Liberty is back on, I think, playing really well again. They had that big game last Thursday night against North Florida, the battle for first place. They took care of business there. And now just, I think, have one or two more games left to just wrap up the regular season title.
Yeah, and I think they'll cruise through this conference tournament, especially getting to play all three rounds at home.
Yeah, you do see Kennesaw State highlighted in red there. They cannot qualify for this conference tournament. North Alabama will be in the conference tournament and will be playing for the 1 seed, which presumably is going to be Liberty.
Right.
Liberty just has to win at Lipscomb and at Kennesaw to wrap things up.
Yeah. So...
But let's keep things rolling here and move
and
over.
How dangerous is Liberty? Again, a year ago, getting to the round of 32, a lot of that team back. But this is weird to say this about a 26-3 team. Kind of a disappointment this year.
Let's pull up their team sheet here real quick here. This Liberty team, because they have everybody back from the team that did win, so you kind of say, well, maybe it's a team you do want to pick, even if they've been a bit of disappointment. They did beat a decent Akron team. I mean, other than the North Florida and Stetson losses, which were just this weird little blip at the end of January,
yeah,
they played so good all season, and they didn't play anybody else.
Yeah.
Had they been LSU, they could have been grouped with Wright State and San Diego State, but
undefeated
against the top two quadrants. But
and I don't know what they were. They could conceivably win 28 games and not be within 50 miles of the NCAA tournament.
26. They're at 26 wins right now, David. They could be at 31 wins going into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Wow. I mean,
that is.
They likely will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if they, well, I guess, you know, if they lose one of the Kennesaw or the Lipscomb game, it won't be. But if they win these last two regular season games and they're in the NCAA tournament, they will have 31 wins. So. Because they're not getting an at-large bid.
Yeah.
Big Sky Conference. We have Montana actually maintained the first place. One of the few weeks we've actually seen first place stay static.
Yeah.
And really got a three-team battle. I think it should make the conference tournament a ton of fun when we get there. And the battle to see who can get that 1 seed and avoid the tough semifinal the rest of the way.
Yeah, it kind of is. Montana, again, probably the team that's – I say this, but all three of them, I've been impressed with Eastern Washington at times. I've been impressed with Northern Colorado at times. You know, the story that I kind of liked following here, Chad, Southern Utah is slipping. Had a rough couple of weeks here after.
Yeah, look, they're probably improved. They're coming very close to having – actually, right now they're in line to have to play an opening round game even in the conference.
Yeah, so. And you kind of – and then the other thing, this is under the radar, you see that their overall record, 14-13, you're hoping that they can stay at or above 500 so they could at least get a sniff of maybe the CIT. Which, again, I don't mean this as a backhanded compliment, a huge step forward for this program if they could get to that tournament.
There are a couple really interesting games this week. First of all, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Montana's at Northern Arizona. That Northern Arizona team is, I think, the fourth best team in the conference, so it's a tough road trip. And then circle the game Saturday, Eastern Washington and Northern Colorado. It is, David, what is it?
The Nokoe Woo Cup.
The Nokoe Woo Cup.
we need Stalika here.
Stalika's here, isn't he?
Yeah, I wish.
No.
I miss it. Like, when he starts making up trophy games, it kills me every time.
That's, and this is a big year for the Nokoe Woo Cup, too.
Yeah, Nokoe Woo Cup. Maybe the biggest one ever.
Big South standings, where we have a new first place team here. With Winthrop having lost the home game to Hampton over the weekend. Another head scratcher there. A Hampton team that would then proceeded to get blown out in a half a game on Monday.
Yeah. interest. Is that the longest game ever? It tipped off on July or on January 20th and ended Monday.
Yes. It was a very long game for going to Wolverhampton.
You tweeted something out that was hilarious. The leading scorer in this game is no longer on the team.
Gardner-Webb's leading well, at halftime, at least, the leading scorer is a guy who had since been dismissed from the team. I don't know if he ended up being the leading scorer or not in the entire game, but he could have
been. That would have been great.
But 14 points in a game that he was not even in the school anymore when it ended.
But Radford. Let's talk about Radford.
Well, I was going to say, Radford's now your first place team, and this conference, the regular season champion, hosts the conference tournament. So with two games to go, this is a huge battle here.
Yeah, the two have already played. They split, oddly enough, winning on each other's home court. Obviously, if Radford wins out, they win it outright. It doesn't go to the tiebreaker. But Radford did some heavy lifting. I mean, they were two games behind, and, you know, they went to Winthrop and won. Winthrop has lost three out of the four after looking like they were going to run away from this conference. You know, they were looking like one of the first teams we would lock in as a conference champion.
Yeah, no, at this point, Radford, they win at Hampton. They win the home game against Gardner-Webb. They're done. They are the conference. They will be hosting the conference tournament. Should they slip up in one of those games, I'm not necessarily – the tiebreakers are going to come down to who the third, fourth, and fifth place teams is. So, you know, it's going to be a little complicated at that point. We don't know who's going to win it at this point, but we'd have to see how things play out the last couple games here.
Yeah.
But Winthrop definitely has to win these last two at Upstate, home against High Point this week.
Yeah. And a lot of parity in this league, albeit not at the top. But, like, you know, when you look at Campbell, five wins, it's not often you see a last place team with five wins. I guess you see it every now and then.
Okay.
All right.
If you insist, let's go to a conference that probably has the last place team with five wins. No, only four wins. Okay. The Big West Conference. Yeah. UC Irvine, talk about a team that is running away with the league. And this is kind of rare for this league. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody run away with this, at least in recent years, run away with this league.
Yeah.
By this big of a margin, David.
Yeah, the Eaters, a little bit irony, not dominating the league more than they did last year, but nowhere near as good from top to bottom, but still clearly the best team in the conference. Another thing we see from this league is that sometimes the best team has a lot of trouble winning the conference tournament. It's not at a predetermined site, but
it is at a predetermined site.
Or it is at a predetermined
site. In Anaheim, yep.
Yeah, but I like the way the Eaters are playing. And while it took them a while to get going, like when you watch them, this is a team that might be a little bit dangerous in the round of 64. And they were better last year, but they did win last year.
I think they're playing really well right now. The question is, can they get hopefully up to the 14 line where they'll have a game they have a shot at winning? I don't think they're good enough to make the 13 line, but if they're on the 15 line, they're going to have such a tough opponent.
Right, yeah.
It would be a major upset. This week they are at Cal Poly, the last place team. Then they'll be hosting over the weekend they'll be hosting UC Santa Barbara. And actually, obviously, next Wednesday they'll be hosting Cal State Northridge as well.
Yep.
Colonial Athletic Association, looks like we finally have a team that's ready to just to put the wrap this conference up. They are, they've clinched at least a tie for the regular season title with Hofstra already.
It took it a while to sort of develop, but Hofstra finally looking like the team that we've seen. I think, what have they won, seven or eight in a row, Chad? It's up there in their profile, shaping up. This is not the easiest league to dominate, but they've kind of done it. And this is a team that, when they play up to their ceiling, is potentially pretty dangerous. Nothing real impressive. Eight in a row. Okay. So,
had they been St. Bonaventure, they could have been undefeated against the top two teams.
Yeah, they could have. Losing that game badly, and that was just one of the moments when you were like, what the hell is wrong?
Actually, no, the Bonnies, if the Bonnies lose out, they could drop down to Tier 3, and we could have Hofstra join that group.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great, like, for Hofstra? I mean, that you really hope that happens for them. At least that's what some idiot bracketologist on the internet would say. But, I like this Hofstra team. Their last two games are winnable.
They're hosting Towson, and they're hosting James Madison, yep.
Yeah.
Very winnable James Madison game.
you know, and you and I like we're, I don't know if we watched the whole game, but that game against Delaware, what an impressive performance. And it's starting to come together. This is the team to beat in this conference.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
William and Mary can lock up the 2 seed with a home win over Elon on Saturday as well. They probably have it anyway. You know, because I assume that Towson's going to lose to Hofstra. And I assume Delaware will lose either at Charleston or at Wilmington. So
yeah. Probably at Charleston.
Probably at Charleston. Charleston, though, a team that has really fell apart at the end of the season here, but yeah, still going to be, still could be dangerous in the conference tournament. The conference tournament in D.C. this year, not in Charleston, though. So.
Yeah, it's not in North Charleston, Southern. Yes. Oh, wait, that's the Big South.
Conference USA time. Okay.
Oh,
we got a lot to discuss this league. First of all, you can still see there are three different shaded colored teams. The top five are Pod A, Pod Two and Pod Three there. We haven't seen any shakeup, so everybody's still in order. Oh. And North Texas actually suffered a home loss to Louisiana Tech to make the battle for the conference regular season title very interesting here with these top three teams in the last 2 weeks of play.
Middle Tennessee, they're hanging on by a thread, or are they already done?
They are not yet done. They are still mathematically alive should they win their last three games. Because they will be playing UTEP, Rice, and Southern Miss in those three games, they could still end up with a tie and potentially sneak into the conference tournament, believe it or not.
Okay. Yeah. This is just a great conference tournament. Well, I think that's where we're going.
Yeah, we're
going
to go there in 1 second. I just want to take a quick look at the upcoming games. Louisiana Tech at Western Kentucky coming up Thursday night is a huge one. That's, you know, the winner of that is going to be poised to make the run at North Texas there. But this is the way the conference wanted to set things up. You then have Western Kentucky at North Texas on Sunday. Next week, you've got I guess not quite as good. You've got North Texas at Charlotte, but you see, we're getting these top teams playing each other in these last couple of weeks, and that makes for a lot of good games that we will have here.
It actually is working a little bit. You see, like two teams now in the top 100 of the net. So I mean, they do this first for the quality of the competition, but secondly, to kind of toy with the metrics a little bit. It's a good idea. It really is.
David, we have the official layout this year.
There's a little bit of change
for the Conference USA Conference Tournament. And what do we love about this conference?
Oh, the curtain. Now,
they
play
two games at the same site at the same time.
Yes.
At the Cowboys Stadium.
Separated by a curtain. I know that they changed the layout here, Chad. The courts are, you see how they're like, they used to be vertical.
They used to be this direction, now, up now, and down. Now they're sideways. Yeah.
Now they're sideways. I don't know why they did that. They got the temporary seating there, but you can still like walk back and forth there in the con. I mean, this is just great.
This is another question that came up. If you look at court A here, there are two bars.
Yes.
Court B, there's only one.
There's only one bar. Yeah. Everything else is the VIP lounge.
The CUSA Cafe up here. We don't even know what that is. I don't know what that is.
Administration seating, right?
Administrative seating.
Wait a minute. Are there not seats? Like I thought that was just the stadium, but the administrative.
Up here you have seating up here.
Permanent seat. Okay, there you go.
Yep, and then you got a temporary seats over here. You got a VIP lounge. You got a little media work.
Yeah, you got the media. What the hell is that?
The puppet bunker.
No, we're not doing that this year. We're not doing that this year.
The puppet bunker is at the Conference USA tournament. No, but what the hell?
I decided we weren't doing that. Look at where this is, Chad. Like, it is way behind the seating. It is not in view of anything. You can't walk back and forth between the – you know that they don't let you out of that thing?
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like another bunker. So what the hell? Why is it there?
Puppet bunkers at Conference USA. We'll have to take a closer look at this as we get into the tournament in a couple weeks.
No!
Let's move on.
When you said you bought me tickets to the curtain, you didn't mention the puppet bunker.
Of course, David. Where else would we put you during championship week? Ivy League time.
Okay. Yale.
Yale goes and picks up a 1-point squeaked one out against Cornell. Was a little bit easier against Columbia on Saturday, but they do maintain the one game lead for the regular season title and the right to wear white when they play Harvard on the road in the championship game.
Yeah. Not a fan of this setup really, but whatever.
We've got two more weeks of Ivy League regular season play coming up this weekend. couple of big ones, though. We've got Penn at Yale on Friday. Penn really needs that game to try to keep pace with Brown here. Princeton at Brown, Princeton at Yale.
So it's shaping up to where it's a five-horse race for four spots.
Yep.
And
Dartmouth and Cornell would probably both be eliminated by the end of this weekend.
Most likely, yeah. And then Brown, you know, our Ocean State Tournament champions trying to cling the fourth place there.
There they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic.
Knocked off, they knocked off a Rhode Island team that's right there, maybe make the NCAA tournament, a Providence team that might make the NCAA tournament, Bryant team that could win the Northeast Conference tournament.
Yeah. Well, they didn't knock off Providence, but they did win the tournament.
Well, they beat the team that beat Providence.
Yeah, they beat the team. They won the Ocean State tournament.
Yep. Let's take a look at then some other leagues. So how about the Metro Atlantic?
Yeah, I mean, this has been getting more and more fun as we've been going along, and this week it's St. Peter's has caught Siena again. Monmouth right there, and we got to say this, Chad, again, I think they were 2-7 at one point or 2-6. How about Iona all the way up into the top half of the standings?
Yeah, no, Iona's been coming on really, really strong here. Did pick up a squeeze out of 1 point win over Ryder. I mean, at this point, you know, by getting up at least to the fifth seed also, you avoid a first round game in the conference tournament, 6-11 play. So now they're in that position. I don't think they're getting enough time to move up to one of the top three seeds, but maybe they could wear white in the 4-5 game.
And again, this is just a team that's winning at the right. I mean, if they were going to be bad, they at least picked the right half of the season to be bad.
Yeah, the upcoming schedule here in the Metro Atlantic, we should have a lot of fun games. This is actually the rest of the season here on the board. The conference will be wrapping things up next Wednesday with those last few games there. But we've got Siena and St. Peter's are the two to keep an eye on there. They're not going to be playing each other, but Siena hosting Niagara. I see they're at Marist, St. Peter's at Canisius, at Niagara as well. So Niagara could have some calls on what goes on here.
Right.
And but you're probably just playing for a guaranteed NIT bid and not much more at this point.
I mean, I like this league. I really wish it was formatted the way the Northeast Conference is. I mean, they're similar in schools. I mean, it's a similar type of league instead of being in a predetermined site, because, God, could you imagine some of these games?
Yeah. But I'll be there. I'll be there at the Metro Atlantic tournament, so it's going to be fun.
In the VIP. Well, I'll be at the Conference USA tournament, but my credentials aren't quite what you got.
I got you your entire bunker for yourself, David.
Oh, jeez. How did that happen?
Mid-American Conference, the big game we were talking about last week, it's being the game of the season, Bowling Green and Akron, and Bowling Green kind of rolled them.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. Not so much against Bowling Green, but I thought Akron was a lot better than that. I thought it was kind of a disappointing effort, or not disappointing effort, but Akron was sort of the team that you had circled as thinking that if anyone's going to win a game in the round of 64, it's them, and they did not look it in that one. I mean, Bowling Green bounced them.
Yeah, Bowling Green is, I mean, while the metrics are still better on Akron, I think Bowling Green is going to end up being your favorite here. No, they are playing to just lock up a one seed again this conference tournament in Cleveland, other than an opening round, which the top four seeds will get a bye through. But Bowling Green at Miami, Ohio this on Saturday, and then they're going to be at Kent State on Tuesday. So a couple road tests at least for Bowling Green. It's always tough to play the road in this conference.
Right. They shouldn't have too much trouble at Miami, but going to Kent is going to be rough.
And do we need to keep an eye on Northern Illinois now, suddenly in first place in the West there,
record? Because what have they strung together like four of their last five or something like that? Yeah. I mean, really playing well right now. I mean, that I'm glad you mentioned them because, they are somewhat quietly really playing well.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to suddenly jump out of nowhere that we haven't talked about all season to steal this conference auto bid. That might be the team to keep an eye on when they get to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Let's jump over to the MEAC. And maybe jump right on past it because there it is. We got A&T and NC Central up on top. A&T a half game lead.
Yeah.
There it is. I do need to discuss something, though, here.
Okay.
David. The regular season finale, not this weekend, but next weekend, next Saturday.
Yeah.
It's going to be Delaware State and Howard playing each other.
Okay. Yes.
Look at, take a look down here in the KPI column. Yeah. He actually ranks 354. He has a ranking for non-D1 games, D1 teams. These are the worst two teams in the nation. This may be, if these numbers can hold, the worst regular season game in the history of the sport.
Delaware State a little higher in the J&G. But no, I mean, we haven't had 353 teams for very long. So there have not been many matchups in the history of college basketball that featured two sub 350 teams.
We could actually have a double sub 350 game coming up. Yeah. Now the big thing is going to happen though. Before that game, Howard has to host Maryland Eastern Shore, who is 346.
Yeah.
So they have a shot to win that one. If they win it, they're going to blow it, and they'll go up a couple spots. If they lose we'll see what happens there. But, top of the standings,
A&T trying to, leave with both middle fingers in the air, I guess.
They got one more season in the conference.
They got one more. Okay.
Yeah, they will be in the conference for next season.
I thought they were gone next year.
I'm pretty sure.
I just can't seem to get anything right tonight. Again, having the tournament in their home city should help them, but it seems like it rarely does. We'll see what happens this year. And how about Cookman, if you want a story, about a team that you're really kind of pulling for, at least an institution. Mm-hmm.
How about the Missouri Valley Conference?
Yep. Okay. Northern Iowa.
Picked up a win tonight. We're recording this around 10:30 on Wednesday evening right now. Mm-hmm. And, they picked up the win over Evansville, who's now 0-17 in conference, has one shot left to win a conference regular season game.
Yeah.
The team that beat Kentucky
Northern Iowa, are they inside the bubble if they win their last game and then avoid a loss in the quarters?
No, let's pull up their profile here. Pull up on the left-hand side as well. And because I think they are. I think that especially when you see some other teams losing their way off the bubble, Rutgers, not easy to – I mean, this is a rivalry game at Drake here for the regular season finale on Saturday. But if they get by that – really like the win at Colorado. South Carolina win is looking a little bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think not only do they have to beat Drake, I think that they have to make it to the Missouri Valley Championship game. They can't lose to a bad team. They have to lose to a Loyola or to an Indiana State in the finals.
Yeah, beating Indiana State would have really helped them out. They dropped that game earlier in the week. They were way behind, came back in that game. There are some warts on that resume, and you kind of had to, judging on what the committee did with the top 16, the fact that they didn't invite Kentucky makes me wonder how much are they looking at bad losses? It seems like in recent years they've looked at them, but not as much as they appear to be looking at them this year.
Yeah. I think this team will be there. I just have a feeling that they still have one more loss and they can get in, but that is the conference championship game loss.
Okay.
On the other hand, I also think they're going to win this conference tournament.
Yeah, they probably will. Over March Madness. So then it's not an issue.
Yep. Here's the upcoming games for this weekend. The last conference will be ending on Saturday here. Here's the final games that you'll be seeing. Northern Iowa, Drake, Loyola, Zepp Bradley, etc.
Yeah.
Evansville hosting Illinois State, the second to worst team. Can they avoid the 0-18?
I don't know, but if they go 0-18 and win the conference tournament, wouldn't that sort of be fitting for their season? I mean, wouldn't that make the most sense?
That would be a story we've never seen before, not from a team that went winless to win a conference tournament.
Yeah, and beat Kentucky.
Northeast Conference, here we go. St. Francis, Pennsylvania, now last week they had beaten – are you okay?
No, I forgot. Well, it'll be a final thought. There was a huge Ivy League note today.
Yeah, there was. Still my final thought, David.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
We've got that. We'll come back to the Ivy League in a little bit here. But
yeah.
SFPA, half-game lead on Bobby Moe for the regular season title. Wagner on the verge of being eliminated. They could actually be eliminated here, I believe, coming up either
tomorrow
night if they lose. And SFPK and Bryant both win, but.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem I have with this league, David, is that the first place team is not going to be in the conference tournament.
Yeah, I really don't like that. I mean, on one sense, it's kind of great to see a transitional team in their first year do something kind of historic, and Merrimack exceeding all of my expectations. I thought that they might be okay and finish around the middle. This team is richly, richly deserving of a postseason tournament. I hope the CIT invites them. It will be a crime if they do not.
Yes.
And, you know, it kind of is. But, yeah, I mean, as good
they
as
can they are playing the worst team in the conference coming up on Thursday, tomorrow night at home. They win that game. They've guaranteed at least a share of the conference regular season title because that's their last game of the regular season.
Right. So, and you know, that – I mean, congratulations to them. I wish they were allowed to be playing in the NCAA tournament and hosting all the games.
Or the
NEC tournament.
Though, keep an eye on Saturday's game here. Seriously, though, SFPA at Robert Morris could decide who gets to host the conference tournament and who gets to be the home team in the conference championship game. So,
that is
a big one.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Ohio Valley Conference. And I want to go back almost a full week, David, to last Thursday night when Murray State was absolutely cruising by about 300 points over Eastern Illinois and going to be remaining in sole possession of first place. And one of the most amazing collapses I've ever seen happened.
They blew that game. Shockingly, when they were up 27, I quit watching. But, yeah, I mean, it was – I think, was it the biggest second half comeback in the history of the game? Or if it wasn't, it was
one of the biggest comebacks from the point when they started the comeback. It was one of the biggest comebacks ever. They beat Murray State. They then go on Saturday and beat Austin Peay as well. So Illinois could be dangerous in the conference tournament suddenly.
Yeah, and this was a team that you figured was on its way, you know, out, like, off the survival board, because at the time they were 5-9. They were, you know, about like just one or like a game better than whatever. And you figure, well, they're going to lose both of those. So, but they didn't.
They have a great shot. One more team will be eliminated from this conference tournament. Tennessee Tech has the leg up on that, but there are still two games left for them to try to move up there.
Yeah, it's real interesting here. I mean, when you talk about stakes, we have a three-way tie for first place.
Yes.
And that means something because the first two, it is a ladder buy into the semis.
But David, it also would be home city advantage should Belmont win this regular season title as the one seed. They would get to have the conference tournament in their home city.
It's in Evansville.
Oh. It's not in Nashville anymore?
No, it's not in Nashville.
Oh, well, damn it. I'm doing just like you tonight, aren't I?
Yeah.
It used to be in Nashville, didn't it?
Yeah, it was until about 2 years ago.
We're still doing the November 8, 2013 show.
You know what? Watch another show. If you're watching this, just find something else to watch. Not hard. But anyway, so
a three-way big game Saturday, time. Austin Peay and Murray State.
Yeah, and okay. And then, you know, you have the four teams fighting it out for three spots in there. So it's a big, big, big week.
Yeah, but you circle that game. Austin Peay Murray State winner will get one of those – should get one of those top two seeds in the buys at the semis.
Yeah.
This is a ladder format. Belmont a little bit easier of a week hosting Tennessee Tech and at Tennessee State. And – where are we? Let's just let's give up right now. Let's go to the
Patriot League.
Talk about people
the Patriot League
screw up conferences.
Where Colgate has a game lead over Bucknell.
Two games. Bucknell is 8-9.
That was off the air.
but Bucknell, huge upset win tonight over Colgate. Not that it's going to matter in the conference standings or anything, but it was a nice win, a very exciting win for Bucknell.
Yeah, Colgate has shown moments of, like, you know, greatness. I think that their ceiling is clearly higher than everyone else's, but they haven't always played up to it. They didn't play up to it tonight. Now, they have clinched home court advantage, which is going to be helpful, but, like, it wouldn't shock me if someone steps up and beats them.
Yeah, and one game to keep an eye out here, I'm not certain the tiebreakers, but Army, if they win at Colgate on Saturday, will guarantee themselves a home a home game in the conference tournament as a four seed. So
yeah, in the quarterfinals. In so the quarterfinals, that would
yeah.
Yeah,
they've had home games in the 8-9 game before.
I think. Right. But, yeah, they have. Army never been in the NCAA tournament, so nope. You know how much fun would that be?
Let's talk a little bit SoCon. And this we had yes. a couple of games tonight in the SoCon. East Tennessee State was getting their asses kicked at Wofford,
they were. David,
and somehow came back and won that game tonight.
Yeah, I think they were down by 15, or maybe it was even a little bit more, you know, at Wofford, and they just chipped away with it, got close, and then made big plays down the stretch. And this is a huge – had they not won that game, Chad, I don't think
– It would have been a quadrant three loss, and it yeah. would have hurt.
And yeah. here they are, like, you know, the win at LSU, the win at Greensboro. I think there's only one
bad spot on the record here. If yeah. they got to beat Western Carolina at home.
Yeah, and that
they've got to make it to the SoCon championship game.
Yeah, I think so. And that home loss to Mercer, I mean, you would hate for that after all they've done to be what ultimately keeps them out. And the reason this is important is because this is not going to be an easy conference tournament to win. There's a lot of teams that are playing well. Another one is the team you have over there, albeit not so much tonight.
Furman yeah, they lose at home to Furman, yeah. Which ends up being, even though Furman's a very good team, that actually ends up being a quad three loss. And I think Greensboro's at-large shots are done now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But still, they're – shot is done, but it's not an easy team to beat. Neither is Furman, neither is Western Carolina, and neither are some of these other teams in this league. Like, now the bottom is pretty bad, but
now Furman's profile, I'm kind of liking them a little better than Greensboro now at this point, because they won at Greensboro,
yeah,
and they don't have the bad on the bottom of the profile that Greensboro has over there.
Yeah, they don't. Or that, for that matter, East Tennessee State has. Now, the thing is, they don't really – the win tonight at Greensboro is where it tops out, and I just don't think that's enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not that large worthy.
But when you look at this, this speaks to their ability, not their profile. An overtime loss at Auburn, a game they could have won. You know, they were right in there with Alabama and kind of blew that one. Didn't they have like a 10 or a 12-point lead in that, and then yep. Bama – came charging back. So, I mean, Greensboro, capable of playing very well, had a second half lead against Kansas, I think. I mean, albeit not for very long, but.
but upcoming schedule here in the SoCon, we've got, I believe, one game left in conference that's coming up this weekend before the conference tournament brackets are out. Yeah. I'm not expecting any upsets. I mean, Greensboro, Chattanooga, if there's going to be an upset, that's the game it would happen in. But right. I don't expect it to happen.
Right. Who's Wofford got? They're at Mercer. Okay.
Wofford's at Mercer. Wofford currently in seventh place. They need that win to have any shot at avoiding the first round, actually, at avoiding a 7-10 game.
Wofford, a team that had been playing really well, and now I think they've lost five or six in a row, yeah. All close games to good teams. But how about that second round game, if it were to finish like this, the Wofford-Furman rivalry in the quarterfinals?
Yeah, exactly. Wofford as a 7 seed means the 2 seed gets them in the – yeah. that's a penalty for the 2 seed, definitely.
Right.
Southland Conference, we have here some red on the screen as New Orleans, Southeastern Louisiana, and Houston Baptist have all clinched the inability to make the conference tournament. Two more teams will also not make it. Most likely Incarnate Word in Corpus Christi, but not locked in yet.
Yeah, Night of Carnage tonight. All three of them going out tonight. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, Stephen F. Austin now a 3-game lead with 3 to play. So they've clinched at least a tie for the conference championship, if not outright.
Yeah, because I mean they haven't. The only team that's beaten them is Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi
they have the tiebreakers.
Yeah, I don't know if they play Abilene again yet, though, one more time. But, this conference, we're just kind of cruising in here for the last couple weeks. Just keep an eye on the Stephen F. Austin games. There's some people that think Stephen F. Austin should be a at-large candidate. I'm not among them, but if they're going to get there, they got to beat Lamar. And there they are. They're playing actually coming up on Tuesday next week. They're going to be at Abilene Christian, which is could be a good game, actually.
It really should be. And my feeling is SFA deserves an at-large so long as they don't lose in the conference tournament.
I'll agree with you on that one. A couple more conferences here. The SWAC We've got Prairie View now with a two-game lead after one of the craziest upsets we've seen in this conference in a long time. Happened. Nobody saw it, though. Nobody paid too much attention other than us. But Monday night, Texas Southern goes to Pine Bluff, who had been 2-12 in the conference, and loses.
Yeah, and was it an overtime loss? Like, yeah, I mean,
it was overtime loss. Yeah,
yeah. Real kind of shocking. Now, at the end of the day, it's not like it knocks them off the bubble or anything like that, but it does knock them out of the NIT potentially, because Prairie View now with a two-game lead. So Texas Southern playing for the NCAA tournament or nothing. Yep. When you look at their overall record, probably.
Texas Southern will probably not get an invite anywhere. I guess, you know, the CIT could come calling if they can get up to 500. They do go by overall record, including non-D1, so 13-14.
Oh, yeah, I sometimes forget that. Okay.
Yep. The upcoming games for this next week, we still have 2 more weeks left in this SWAC, but you want to keep a look at Prairie View. They're hosting Alabama State and Alabama A&M. They could come very close to locking things up if they win those two games.
Alabama State making a late surge.
They've actually lost 2 in a row.
And before that, though, before they tanked, they were doing pretty good.
Two of these teams will not make the conference tournament. We should see two of these bottom three fall off in the next week or so here as well. So keep an eye out on the survival board for that. Let's go.
All three are so bad, they're keeping each other in it.
Let's go to the Summit League, where South Dakota State maintains the lead. It's now a game and a half over North Dakota State. Off of a win over South Dakota over the weekend.
Those games were fun. Like, I mean, that was a fun game to watch. Mm-hmm. So was the North Dakota State game. So, like, those were – sometimes you forget what a rivalry that is until you, like, watch those games.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be a fun conference tournament also. Oh, yeah. South Dakota really has been in a bit of a tailspin lately, though. It looked like a three-team battle. It's definitely going to be, you know – two-team battle, but we've seen some crazy upsets in this conference tournament in the early rounds before. So,
And Western Illinois is positioning themselves where they normally do. Well, David,
got some big news in this conference here, because everyone thinks championship week conference tournaments are going to be starting on Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
We have now, if Western Illinois loses at Oral Roberts tomorrow, which is very likely, we will have on Saturday the first conference tournament game.
Yeah.
The winner of Western Illinois at Denver will get the 8th and final spot in the Summit League. The loser will be out. So it will be a virtual conference tournament game on Saturday.
Not an actual one, but a virtual 8-9 game. We had this in the Summit League last year. You and I both watched the game, or not the Summit. Watch another show. just turn it off. In the Atlantic Sun last year, Kennesaw State and I forget, was it Stetson?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a war, and, you know, we'll be watching on Saturday.
Yes. So keep an eye on this. I expect if Western Illinois wins at Oral Roberts, it might still be for the spot. I just haven't gotten
– we
haven't completely figured out what the tiebreakers are at this point beyond that. But let's go a couple more conferences real quick here. The Sun Belt Conference with Little Rock, despite having some struggles. Well, actually, they won this week. They won the game at Arkansas State. So they do have a two-game lead now over Texas State, because Georgia State, who we keep thinking is the best team in this conference, keeps finding ways to lose games.
Yeah.
So Little Rock, I'm on board
with
them.
Little Rockos. Yeah.
Texas State. The Bobcats have been the team charging up lately, though.
Yeah. They really have been. And, like you said, every time I want to like Georgia State, they give me a reason not to.
This conference is playing a 20-game conference regular season here, so we still have 3 more games left. They will be finishing up, it looks like, on Tuesday there next week.
Yeah.
Looks like it's Tuesday they'll be finishing things up. Let's go to the Western Athletic Conference.
Okay, last one.
Last one.
Last one of the season.
Last one of the season. Yes, here we are. We're New Mexico State, the only undefeated under the radar team. Dayton, the only other team in the nation undefeated in its conference.
Yeah.
Here they are, 13-0. Just a few games left to go, David.
Yeah, already clinched first place. I think a dangerous team in the round of 64 if they can get there. And you kind of – there's still one or two players that they didn't end up getting back because of injury. I mean, with them, they would have been even more dangerous. But as it is, it's interesting what the committee will do with a team like this, because their overall profile doesn't really say 12 or 13 seed. But when you look at what they've done on the court with their current lineup and the lineup they're going to be taking to the tournament, they haven't lost to anybody. I mean,
they got a bit of what's become a bit of a rivalry game here. Actually, Thursday coming up tomorrow night at Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
not an easy place to go and win, even though the Lopes are a bit down this year.
Bit down, but playing well recently.
And then a trip to Bakersfield. California Baptist in second place, and will not be in the conference tournament.
Not in the conference tournament. Did not let them in. Yeah, Chicago State will be, unfortunately.
Chicago State will be losing to Mexico State in the 1-8 game. You can write that down already.
Yeah.
Let's go to top 10s. Mm-hmm. Top 10 lists here. Our colleague Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org did vote in this week's top 10 as well, even though he couldn't be with us tonight. So we have a bunch of honorable mentions, including Loyola, Chicago, Louisiana Tech, Wright State, Colgate, David. I don't know why somebody voted for them after they lost tonight.
They weren't in my top 10.
No, they were your 12th team.
Yeah.
And Merrimack.
Getting an honorable mention. And they should continue to be mentioned every week.
At number 10, we have Hofstra, the Colonial leader here.
Okay, yeah, good team.
At number 9, Vermont. Despite the loss to UMBC, still in our top 10.
Yep, probably deserve it.
Yale coming in at number 8.
Yeah, this is a dangerous Yale team.
And at number 7, we've got Liberty.
Okay, we don't know if they're dangerous or not. We know they can be.
Number 6, we just discussed.
I like them.
And we've got a tie for 4th place, and kind of almost fittingly here, the two teams tied for 4th place are Furman and Greensboro. And the battle to see who will be the winner of this will be taking place in this most likely in the SoCon semifinals.
Most likely, yeah.
Coming in 3rd, we have got Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah.
And 2nd place, East Tennessee State, the SoCon leader. And just squeaking them out for winning first place again is Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
David, we have now completed, for the first time in 7 seasons of doing Under the Radar podcast, the first complete season where not a single one of the teams from these 22 conferences was ranked in the top 25
at any point.
Anytime. Now, it is still possible there will be a few more polls, and we'll keep an eye on it during our video notebooks in the next couple of weeks here, that maybe Northern Iowa or ETSU could sneak into the or Stephen F. Austin could sneak into the top 25 by Selection Sunday, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Probably not.
Yeah. The biggest chance would be Northern Iowa if they win the MVC tournament, which will be the championships will be on a Sunday, the day after the final Monday poll there.
Top
25. Mm-hmm. On that note, we're going to go to final thoughts, and I'm going to start off with my final thought and steal yours, David.
I think we both had the same thought.
Well, that's fine. You can have it.
Go ahead. This is incredible.
It goes back to the Ivy League where the NCAA – actually, it was a consent penalty with the University of Pennsylvania, but Jerome Allen, who used to be the head coach at the University of Pennsylvania, we should really have our good friend John Titel, who went to UPenn with us, but he's not. But, the penalties came down, and they included the longest show cause penalty against a coach I've ever seen in my entire life, a 15-year show cause, David.
Yes, and again, he was, I guess, guilty of accepting bribe money, I guess you would say, in connection with letting a kid into the school on the basis that he would join the basketball team, which lightened the emissions load. The NCAA doesn't like it when coaches or boosters give money to players. I was shocked, Chad, to find that they like it even less if coaches take money from players.
it's bad. I mean, an Ivy League school nonetheless. Now, I got to say, probably part of the reason the show cause was so long is that he's not going to be coaching again. You kind of look at the Kevin Stallings show cause we just saw also. He's not a guy that – anybody really thinks it's going to be coaching again anytime soon, if ever. So at least not in the college ranks. But Jerome Allen cannot coach in the college ranks unless a school can show cause. Needs to be there. David, though, any other thoughts from you for the night?
No, that's it. We're going to reach out to him and see if he wants to join Hoops HD. If he watched tonight's show, he'll be like, forget it.
We will be back tomorrow night, Thursday evening. We're going to be recording one of our bracket rundown shows. And then starting next week, Monday night, We will have our regular Hoops HD report, which will segue right into every night thereafter, David, Championship Week Video Notebook. We are not going to stop talking about these under the radar schools. We're actually going to start talking a lot more about them every single night. We're going to be discussing every single conference tournament game. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be a ton of sleepless nights. We'll sleep next.
Championship week, the greatest 2 weeks of the year.
Well, on that note, on behalf of myself, Chad Sherwood, David Griggs, and John Salika? Salika?
Well, I don't know where he is.
Oh, he's not here.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.